Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Choppy was pumped up at 5:30, and Bobby looks ready to go at 6.
Christmas Day! It's here.
NFL Draft Day,
no,
of course.
No, Keller. Keller plays in the playoffs tonight, guys. I'm going to try and see if I can be like, Kyle Yeoman's, those triplets that you have that you're like missing the draft for, you're just going to need to bring them up there. You know, they have nursing rooms there. I got to get to the Keller playoffs. So, but it is draft day too.
I had a Tolo named James come out to the house the other day to check out my snake fence. And he's like, Bobby lives in Keller? Like, we're close. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I was like, no. He's just a big-time random sports supporter around the Metroplex. That's why he leads Neighborhood Watch at 740.
How's the snake fence working? What is a snake fence?
More updates on that later. I'm waiting for my lion pee to come in.
All right.
And then I'll couple it all and do a half a segment. I'm waiting for the lion urine. Then we'll talk about my snake fence. Promise. Zach Wolchuk will join us in studio for an hour at 8 o'clock to preview. He will be hosting the festivities tonight. But before we get to all that, Jane Slater, with an awesome tweet yesterday of Snoopy just looking up at a leaf, blowing in the wind. Left, right, left, right. Jerry Jones said he wanted to see more leaves fall before giving out the extensions to Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons. And Bobby, it appears like that leaf is coming from the Lions as Amon-Ra St. Brown gets 30 a year in Detroit.
Yep, and that is, I mean, it's essentially, when you look at the contract, it's essentially the Tyreek Hill deal, like in terms of the yearly value and the guaranteed money that he gets. It's pretty close to what Tyreek Hill got, which I don't think anybody would say. Amon-Ra St. Brown's a really, really good player, but I don't think anybody would say Amon-Ra St. Brown needs to be top of the market, like the very top of the market. You would say he needs to be the very top of the market?
I think if I need one catch, if I need one first down, I don't know who I choose, how many guys I choose before him to get one first down. His ability to just, like, on a 3rd and 10, I'm choosing him over CeeDee Lamb, I'll tell you that right now. Now, over the whole game, I'll choose CD. I think CD's a better receiver. But if I just need to move a chain, I'm taking him.
He's a gamer. 4 for 120 with 77 guaranteed. Amon-Ra St. Brown, this note from the NFL Network, still reads the names of the 16 wideouts who were drafted before him.
Corny.
Before every single practice.
Corny. That's corny.
It's very corny. It's also a lie. Nobody does that.
I mean, there are some guys who, like, when they talk about this and you go, like, Russell Wilson behavior, which that is. Russell Wilson would say, every morning I have pictures of the quarterbacks that went ahead of me, and I look at them and I talk to them in the mirror and say, you're not better than me, or some crap like that. Like, that's it's corny behavior, to be honest, but he's really good. Yeah. He's really good, and he's somebody who absolutely is a top 10 receiver in the NFL. But again, the market is not exactly like the quarterback market. The receiver market is not one where it's like, well, you're going to be one. Now you'll be one, and you'll be one. It doesn't recycle like that. And so when Amon-Ra St. Brown gets 30, that's where we start looking at, okay, this is when you start projecting out a little bit. You might say, you can look at it and say, that's why CeeDee Lamb might be saying, you need to give me 35. And why Justin Jefferson might be saying, That's fine. You need to give me 37.
Yeah, was this a good or a bad leaf for the Cowboys, RJ Choppy? Were they hoping that someone like Amon-Ra came in at 28 and then they would try to tell CD, you're in that category versus the Jefferson category at 36, 37? What would have been the point in waiting for someone like Amon-Ra to get done? And good or bad development in terms of paying CD in Frisco?
I mean, like, I don't know how this is good. Now, if he got 20, hey, great, man, yeah. Right? But I don't know how this is good. He's getting $30 million.
Yeah.
And setting a mark for the highest guarantee there is. So I don't know how that's a good thing. This is not a good thing for the Cowboys.
It's not. And this was Slater's point to Jerry with the whole back and forth. Now, maybe it's CD who's saying, I want to wait. Maybe CD's waiting for Chase and Jefferson. That's kind of the feeling I was getting from the press conference, that either CD has asked for like way more than 32, or maybe he's just waiting for Jefferson to get his so that he can argue, I need that or more, and then maybe settle in for $1 million or two less. Maybe Lamb is the holdup. That's possible.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit of both, but the reality still being that it's the Cowboys, because I think that Lamb and the Cowboys probably, as the Cowboys have a history of doing their discussions, Lamb probably said, his representative said, hey, this. Cowboys said, no, this. And they went, that's so far apart that middle ground is not necessarily going to be easy right away. And so it's one of those things where instead of like us sitting here and just fighting over to whatever else, fine. We will let the market show you that that's closer to it. So fine, we can wait or whatever else. So CD very well may be saying, we need to wait on these guys, but it's not like a, we need to wait on these guys before I'll give you a number. It's like, well, okay, then we need to wait on these guys so that you see that your number is not even reasonable.
And the Lions made the Cowboys look stupid again with All In by not only giving 120 to Amon-Ra, they gave $112 million more to one of their own in Penei Sewell. So the all-pro tackle, 4 for $112, makes him the new highest-paid offensive lineman in the NFL, and that includes 85 guaranteed.
He's really good. That is a guy that...
That was a Cowboy discussion.
Yeah.
Draft topic.
No, if he would have been there, that's who they were picking. He didn't get there, and they end up with Micah Parsons, who's really, really good. So they're not, you know, crying about a bunch about it. But, I mean, that year they were looking at, there were three picks to go until they picked, and they were looking at Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, and then the draft went, it was like Horn, Sewell, Surtain, they all three go in a row, and then you felt like, crap, what are we getting here? They trade back the two spots, mm-hmm. pick up extra capital, and then take Micah.
And so
it ends up working out really well.
For everybody.
Ultimately, yeah.
Except for Carolina.
Carolina didn't work out very well for it. But ultimately, it worked out the way you wanted it to. Or just you end up having the end result that you want here. But Penei Sewell is somebody who's really, really good. And I think if right now you told the Cowboys, would you like to have Penei Sewell right now? They'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean,
sure.
We would not be complaining if we had Penei Sewell over Micah Parsons.
But this is Detroit doing what?
This is Detroit doing what the Cowboys historically do, which is sign their own guys. And, you know, none of these guys were free agents. They were in their, like, year before free agency. Like, they don't have to sign Jared Goff today.
Right.
They didn't have to sign Amon-Ra, right? They just didn't want to get to the market. It's the same situation the Cowboys are in for the most part.
Yeah, like, it's funny, whenever you guys have brought up the point where it's like, specifically, I know Choppy brings this up all the time, the idea of that when you have a cheap quarterback, when you have cheap players here or there, whatever else, you need to take advantage of it by loading up the roster around them and like, going for it in that window.
Houston's doing this right now.
In a lot of ways, yeah. But one of the big ways that you take advantage, whenever teams say, like, you want that fifth-year option in the draft, you don't want to lose that. You don't want to trade back and pick somebody at the top of the second round because you lose that fifth-year option. The reason why the fifth-year option is so valuable to most teams is because, like in Penei Sewell's case, which Penei Sewell is 3 years into his career, he has 2 years left on his contract. You can then say, we're signing you to a four-year extension, which ultimately becomes a six-year contract. And these years where you have a smaller number, like year four here, which is not going to be as big as some of these extension years we've signed you to, we can push a whole bunch of signing bonus way up front And then we can smooth out the numbers on the back end because we can apply that signing bonus value to when you have a lower salary here in year four. And that's where the Cowboys historically have just said, no, we want to use the fifth-year option as just an excuse to wait. We want to wait around, and we drag our feet, and it just allows us to buy time and not deal with anything. Detroit is using that flexibility the way you're supposed to. Dallas uses it generally as an excuse to just not get something done until they absolutely have to.
Man, it's amazing, though, like, the culture that Dan Campbell's just done. Like, people want to stay there. I remember a time nobody wanted to be in Detroit. Like, nobody wanted to be there. Now it's like, okay, it's like a kind of a cool place to go to, and it's all because of Dan Campbell.
Well, speaking of fifth-year options, the Cowboys picked up Micahs at a cost of $21.3 million. That's going to be as a DN. He would have gotten more at linebacker. Edge rusher, I guess. But the league determines that, so the Cowboys did not screw him over. That's a very important thing to point out. The Cowboys did not try to pay him less money. The league determines and says, and there really is no arguing, where did you take the most snaps in the year? It was a DN for Micah, so $21 million. How does that play into a long-term deal?
I don't know how much that plays into a long-term deal, just because if there's anything that Micah's camp, his agents, the people who represent him, have set a precedent for, it's that our guys don't touch the fifth-year option. If you get into year five, if you're going to drag your feet, you're going to do whatever else. If you get into year five, we're not playing on that. We're sitting out, and so he can play year four here. If he goes into next year and they don't have a contract extension done, he's holding out. Like that, that's the history.
Money, right? What's the league rule on that?
League rule doesn't matter because it's basically you get the fines that can't be turned away. But league rules don't matter because the Joneses have already set the precedent in the last year of, like, we'll roll that into your contract.
Right,
and that's what they'll do. Like, I mean, that's what their Micah Seidel do. He'll say, no, you're going to roll this in for us.
Well, maybe they didn't give CeeDee or Micah their extensions because they were too busy meeting with Zeke Elliott and his agent about a potential return, according to the NFL Network. The former rushing champ and his old team don't have a deal just yet, but they are in talks.
This is good because if you're able to get this done before tonight, then now you've taken the pressure off of having to draft a center in the first round. You can just return Zeke to his natural position.
Dude, Shereen Williams tweeted that. I was like, damn, Shereen. I didn't know you were going to come that aggressive with it. Cowboys don't need to draft a center now.
Nope.
With the old joke.
I'm. That's the depressing thing for this offseason. If you were to say, what's the most depressing thing in the offseason? It's not anything they've done. It's not all in. It's not the press conference. It's not the not signing anybody. It's the fact that they would go back to this well. They would go back to this well knowing full well that this is – they're just signing up voluntarily for 2.7 yards a carry.
Well, and maybe like two carries a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually –
a good blocker.
I'm not – near the end, he wasn't even that good at it here. But I actually don't – I don't hate this. Like, if you want to reduce his salary, he wants to come in here, play on a minimum, and he wants to just be a – like rotational piece coming in, playing like 10 snaps a game or whatever else. I don't have a problem with bringing in somebody who, for all of Ezekiel Elliott's faults as a football player the last couple of years, and not even faults, like technically speaking, he's still a good football player in terms of the way he sees the game and everything else. It's just his athletic ability has diminished so much that there's only so much he's able to do. But if you want to bring in Zeke to get you some tough short yardage, whatever else, you want somebody to come in here, show guys good practice habits, set the tone for the running back room, give you an edge, give you something that you're missing, you feel like you're missing culture-wise in the locker room, I don't have a problem paying the minimum for that.
Yeah, this just feels like you talked about Belichick looking desperate in that article last week. This just feels like, you know, Zeke is so desperate to be here. This would be pennies, fine, very, 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 very limited role, fine, but it's just another layer to a depressing Cowboys offseason. Now, Stephen Jones said, now, we won the offseason last year, and it didn't help us in the playoffs. So before we all try to look at paper champions, as Mike McCarthy called it, keep that in mind. They won the offseason. Did they win the offseason last year? They won it with fifth-round trades.
Yeah, the Cooks and Gilmore pickups were. I would say they were exciting.
I want to say we were, like, I don't think anybody said, like, they had the best offseason in the NFL. Not in that sense, but, I mean, if winning the offseason is just coming away with a B-plus, like, to A-minus type of grade. Like, I think we all generally were talking about the Cowboys in that range for those deals. We felt like you fleeced those teams. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think you got the value out of Crooks and Gilmore.
They weren't like an off-season winner, like top three spender, like off-season winner. Sure, they made a couple of nice, kind of sly moves with fifth rounders.
Which for them, usually, like, I mean, if you're going to sign Cedric Thornton and Benson Mayoa, Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks move the needle and make you feel like you did something more. But those guys were good contributors and gave you the return on investment, I think.
877-881-1053. So that is everything inside the Star, where Bobby Belt will be tonight for the NFL draft coverage alongside Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, and many, many others. Wolchuk will join us live in studio for at least an hour at 8 o'clock on DFW Sports Station. If the Dallas Stars get swept or lose in five, do heads actually have to roll when you're taking on a team like Vegas? Game two last night, and the Rangers are trying to add some pitchers. We'll tell you about it next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marchessault gets to the red line. Backhands a pass. Empty net goal for Eichel. And the Vegas Golden Knights are going to sweep the first two games here in Dallas against the Stars in this best of seven.
Call on ESPN. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. club. Feeling a little better this morning than yesterday after the Mavericks late game. I think this one ended at like 11:40, 11:45, but everyone seems to be doing pretty well this morning. I was definitely hurting yesterday, but stayed up for the Stars. Not able to come back on the Golden Knights, and now you're going to Vegas down 0-2. Not good.
I do not remember the drive-in.
Zoned out? Or blacked out drunk?
No, I didn't drink. I was like very, very out of it. Like, I could not wake up. I was switching eyes that were closed.
Yeah.
I would put my hand over one, give that one a little rest.
Get a nap in yesterday.
No, I had kids yesterday. Had to go to the gym, then I had kids. I didn't have time.
You don't nap, period, though, usually, right?
No, but I like, on a day like where I'm up till midnight or 1 o'clock. It was really 1 o'clock almost, right?
Well, for you it was, because you fell asleep, had to get up and rewatch 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, which I should have done because I didn't remember the Clippers being up six.
I don't generally, but you know, I generally get more than 4 hours of sleep, and on three nights in a row. So that was kind of the issue.
I always like to hear the Pepe nap time.
Oh, yesterday, you know, it wasn't the 4.5 like it was. What was that, Tuesday? It was only 4.
Okay,
only four.
1 to 5.
he said, because your naps are usually what, like an hour, maybe two if you're lucky.
They used to be 4 though. They used to be like they used to be 3 or 4, and now this week they're probably like 3, but normally like hour and a half, 2 hours max.
So, yeah, because Peyton said, like, Peyton, you consistently are 3 hours, like, minimum on your naps, aren't you?
Yeah, it's usually 1 to 4. But this weekend, man, I mean, I'm hoping I'm on the Bobby sleep schedule and sleep for 12 hours. Because I need it, man.
I don't think mine is. I think I have the most unhealthy sleep schedule of anybody that works here, probably. Because mine is, like. Because
you don't have a sleep schedule.
Yeah. 4 doses.
It'll be, like, 2 hours, and then it'll be 6 or whatever else, and then it just builds up, and then on a weekend I sleep for 13 hours.
So do we have the hockey version of the San Francisco 49ers on our hands?
It kind of seems like it, doesn't it? And that was something yesterday that Jane's Sweet Babu, I saw, tweeted, her man, that he had said, like, the Golden Knights are to the Stars what the 49ers are to the Cowboys. And it's like, man, maybe maybe I don't know hockey well enough. Maybe that's an awful analogy, but it feels pretty right. Like that, even when last year, like maybe you shouldn't have been the favorite or whatever else. But then heading into this year, it's like, oh, they're a little more vulnerable. They're banged up, whatever else. It's like it doesn't matter what the scenario is. They're just not going to be able to beat them. Is kind of how it feels.
I mean, styles make fights a lot of times. That's I don't know if this is a stylistic thing. They're just good. Like they're just a good team, and we've seen this time and time again in sports where if you get a championship, and maybe the Rangers are falling prey to that right now. The regular season it doesn't mean as much, you know, when you're not trying to prove your first championship, and then you get to the next one, and you know you have some injuries. You're not really playing maybe the way you had in the past, and you get to the postseason, it's like, all right, time to turn up.
Like the Stars didn't play bad last night.
They didn't play bad last night. They just didn't take advantage of mistakes or opportunities, and Vegas did. But Vegas has got, Vegas has two or three guys that always seem to be around the puck on every single scoring opportunity. And I swear to God, Marchessault and Eichel don't come off the ice. Like, I don't know what their line change is. Like, they don't come. They're in everything. They're in on everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, to my untrained hamster eye and to the things that I can't see through moneypuck.com, Sean, is that, like, to me, you're talking about the offensive side. To me, it's just like Vegas seems just in the right spot every single time defensively. Like, what I do know is, like, it's not.
Spittle called it territorial hockey. That they played hockey extremely well, and the Stars struggled to get to their prime scoring areas.
Like, see, that's the thing, is that to me, what I do know about hockey is that in a 2-1 game, the last 5 minutes of the game, you can't have zero shots on goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's tremendous. Like, that's a lot of what Vegas is doing to stop
that. Really good defensive team. Yeah. Like that's what it feels like. They've just always got, oh, there's a stick in the right spot, or oh, this guy is exactly where he needs to be. I don't know if it's fortunate. If it's fortunate, if it's lucky, or if it's just they are that skilled defensively.
Well, I mean, you can have some good fortune. Like I think it was Robertson who was trying to get a rebound and his stick just missed it, just over the top, right? Just didn't get a good whack at it. I don't look, and Vegas for their part, they pack it in, especially when they're on the penalty kill as well as anybody. They kill the penalty off. They did a great job at times on Pavelski, making sure that there's no lanes for him to redirect. They're just a good team. They're all around a really, really good team, and they make you pay. When you make a mistake, they've made the Stars pay. And when they've made a mistake, you know, the Stars made them pay in game one. They did. They had a couple of goals, but they didn't make them pay yesterday.
Felt like a difference in physicality that the Stars were able to match, just like the Mavericks in game two. So physicality, and Jake Ottinger played pretty well in net. But now you have more bad news, possibly, with some injuries. With Foxa and Marchment, they did not see much action in the third. And Spittle said we're going to find out more in the next few days if they can go on Saturday night. Marchment was the one early on. My Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He laid a dude out behind the goal.
Yeah, and there was weird. Like, I haven't seen in a while. It's been a long, long time since somebody lost a skate blade. and we saw that yesterday. You lose a skate blade. It doesn't happen very often. But it did there. And you know, hockey guys, nobody will play through more than they will. They'll shoot you up with whatever Toradol you need, and you go out there for your 45-second shift, and you hope to make the most of it, and you go back down and rest.
So, game three, Saturday, but this is not looking or feeling good whatsoever for the number one seed in the West. 877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line. Rangers beat the Mariners. Get even in the series. 5-1, Wyatt Langford with three hits. John Gray with four solid innings. Corey Seager leaves with a left shin injury. But we got some pitching news. They go and get, and I agree with Bobby when he sent this the other night, I did not realize that Johnny Cueto was still in Major League Baseball. The Rangers go and get him, and then they acquired a lefty yesterday, Colton Ingram, on waiver claim from the Mets. 27 years old, pitched briefly with the Angels in 2022. Evan Grant says, I'd say this is a Brock Burke replacement, and my guess is Burke has made his last pitch for the Rangers. So, Colton Ingram, Johnny Cueto and Bobby Max Scherzer. He's back out there working on the mound.
He is. He's back. He's got his rehab start. He pitched on, was it Wednesday? Yeah, yesterday he got the opportunity to pitch for the first time. Struck out 4 in the first rehab start down there for Round Rock. So,
but 2 1/3, 3 runs, 5 hits, 4 strikeouts.
It's like spring training, you're working on some stuff.
On 52 pitches, just like Blake Snell.
Yeah, you're working on some stuff, right? 4 strikeouts, no walks. That's what I care about. Control, Sean.
You got anything for Cueto?
You're grasping at straws. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to find lightning in a bottle. Is the Brock Burke thing solely because of the punch? Like, they're just mad?
I don't think that they would just totally get rid of... I mean, if you are a borderline to begin with, a punch can take it over the top and be like, get the hell out of here. If you have a lot of potential, they'll overlook it. We just done with Jack Leiter?
No, but I mean, here's the thing is that I wonder if Leiter, not that they're done with him, but but they got him up here, and I wonder if they just realized, like, hey, let's not do anything to potentially shake the confidence of this guy that we've worked really hard to build back a level of confidence. Like, let's, you know, bring him up, spot start. You see, it's like, okay, let's.
But you would hate Choppy. You hate that philosophy.
I do. If they're the guy, let him fail. You know, you got to learn how to. This baseball's a game of failure. I think it could shake confidence in other sports. In baseball, these guys are so used to failing.
So, like, you would disagree then with the idea that, and I know this is a 50-year-old reference for KNC's best buddy that they have on all the time, but you would disagree with the thought process that the Rangers broke David Clyde by bringing him up here too fast and accelerating him and not letting him grow.
Yeah, I maybe David Clyde just wasn't that good.
No, and that's completely possible. Right. I mean,
but maybe he got broken too.
Yeah, I just
if I throw our fan phenom.
Blake Elliott.
Mm-hmm. He does not do any shows. He won the Fan Phenom last week, and we make him host the draft coverage tonight, and he butchers it and murders it in the wrong way. I would think that's gonna mess with him, his next few broadcasts, maybe for a while. That you get humiliated and embarrassed on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. Not that you would, Blake. I'm just saying if that's my analogy.
I guess what I would say to that is. We all sucked our first day on the radio.
Not me.
Yeah, yours was a year.
I got all my reps on the podcast, baby.
But you know, that counts. Like, yeah. That was your first. That was your
I'm being sarcastic.
We were all.
Yeah,
awful.
But your reps were. You were pushing buttons behind the scenes. You weren't a full time drive time in the spotlight. You could chime in. You could chirp in. I was in market 147. Nobody was freaking listening anyway. I knew that it was my hometown. Like you know, Peyton is not sitting here talking for 4 straight hours. He chimes in here and there. It's not just boom, go host, boom, go start.
Is there any sport? Is there a player that you can think of where you go, okay, maybe that guy was mishandled and broken? Like, can you think of anybody that was that way?
I mean, I'm sure there is.
I agree with you.
If Leiter like was still up here, responded game 2, nails. I'm like, okay, that's a dog. That's a sign of a dog right there. Talk about the other way that it can work, but.
Yeah, and because I look at it and say, I think you're right most of the time. If you're the guy, you're the guy. But I also think there is a critical point in someone's development where you risk sending them the wrong direction with you know, discouragement and everything else. Like, I know the Cowboys.
Like, you weren't going to break it. To me, you weren't going to break Peyton Manning. But everyone's not Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning can lead the league in interceptions in his rookie year and set a record, and I'm believing in him for year 2. Andrew Heaney, by the way, on the mound today to finish up the series, 1 o'clock pregame.
That'll either be 8 strikeouts, 1 run allowed, or it'll be 8 runs allowed, 1 strikeout.
6.35 earned run average. So the Rangers trying to make...
It's a highway.
Some... and I think the worst one in the Metroplex.
Ooh, disagree. 35. 35 heading into downtown is the worst.
35 heading... 6.35 is pretty bad.
What's your vote, Pepe?
It's 35. Yeah, for sure.
All right. I thought you were going to say 30 for our drive.
Oh, the bridge. The bridge is bad, man.
The bridge is over. The bridge is over.
The area.
Rich people problems.
The area between like.
The drawbridge. It gets icy.
Yeah, the area coming from East Dallas on 30, where it's got like that kind of canyony turn before you get to 35. That's the worst. That's the worst in town. That's awful. Doesn't matter what time of day, it's always backed up.
I attacked him for the queso, but I'm going to have to defend him for being cheap in Las Vegas. Someone is scared to deliver food to a nudist and say goodbye to TikTok. It's Thursday, so that means it's the payload. Next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
I absolutely despise politics. I absolutely despise them. TikTok is going down. All because we passed bills along House, Senate, another House, and someone signs and agrees, and I don't understand it, but I just saw the headline, TikTok is going to be banned, and I'm upset. It's just such a content creation there. I'm not part of Gen Z, but Gen Z's upset about it. RJ loves Gen Z.
Is it getting banned? Like, where do we stand with this? What's going on? This is like the third time I've seen it's getting banned.
Yeah.
Well, so, there's been talk about it before, like, oh, they're working to or they're going to. Like, this is the first time something I think has been signed.
Yeah, like certain places have banned it for under certain ages, right?
And this is because we don't want China to have our information.
Yeah, so.
And as I told Amanda, I don't want the United States to have my information. I don't trust China any less than our government. So, them having my info, everyone has everybody's info. I don't care. I don't trust our government any more than I do the Chinese.
Yeah,
that's my TikTok take.
So, ByteDance is the company that owns it. And they have until the end of the year to sell.
9 months to sell or they face a ban?
Or they face a ban. So ByteDance is a company that's owned in China. Any company that's owned that is in China.
In where?
China. is effectively owned by the Chinese government, right? They own, there's no real, like the personal property thing is not really a thing there. So they're trying to avoid this. By the way, this took 80% of the Senate to pass. When was the last time the Senate, 80% of the Senate, which is basically 50-50, when was the last time 80% agreed on anything?
Yeah, that's my biggest thing about this is that if you're resisting
it. And did
they
go on TikTok to see what it actually
was? No, but it's funny.
Senate
like,
members?
President Biden is, he is still doing campaigning on TikTok.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to, and that's where you have a lot of young people, 18-year-olds. That are going to get their information from.
Sorry,
which
Bob.
Is sad
what
enough.
Now that I was saying same sort of thing that if you say like Peyton you just did where you're like I don't understand this. This is awful news or whatever else. Like, generally it like stands out to me when it's like it's overwhelmingly bipartisan in the House and then in the Senate and a bill that was ultimately introduced by a Republican was signed by Biden. Like that says to me like everybody. Has an axe to grind against it. Now, is that totally fair? Not necessarily, but just on a blind read, that sounds like there's a serious problem.
This my issue with it is like this comes down to choices. Like, don't eliminate a choice for me. If I choose to be okay with the Chinese government having my information, what the hell does the senator from Cleveland care?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, it's not his decision to make for me. I have a big problem with government making any decisions for me.
I would say that I think that there is a national, and I'm not saying specific to this, but I'm saying in a vacuum, I would say there's a pretty sizable national security risk to, like, security issues with the information and privacy of a ton of your citizens. Like, that puts, in general, a lot of vulnerability in place that they probably have an interest in guarding against.
Well, all I know is this would crush my wife. Devastate. Absolutely devastate her. I never really got into TikTok. I'm much more into Twitter and then Instagram and then Facebook. So TikTok, never been my thing, but this would break her.
It's such a easy way to pass time. You know, like, you know, when, yeah. And I'll be real. When I'm doing my business on the toilet, TikTok's always open, you know? And I mean,
so is that what my son does in there for 30 minutes?
At least 30 minutes.
Like, I mean, with a sock?
It's just, you know, I mean, I'm sending, me and McKenzie send, you know, TikToks back and forth to each other. We have ideas that we share, you know, based on that. It's a conversation starter. Oh, did you see this on TikTok? It's a news source, basically, and they're taking it away. Again, as long as you're not taking money from me, I don't care what country has my information.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been a U.S. copycat, so we don't have to deal with this. I know when things get so large, like, you know, we saw what happened to Threads. All y'all told me Threads was going to be so dominant, every media person in town, and that went away, poof, quickly.
Missed that one, Jay.
But I'm just surprised that there hasn't been a copycat that's had any type of success.
It's the algorithm.
That's what I was going to say.
Their algorithm is so good.
The algorithms are so terrible on social media. Like, the Twitter algorithm's awful. The Facebook algorithm, like, they're just terrible. The TikTok one knows me better than I know me. Like, it knows exactly what I want to see and what I think is funny. Exactly.
People are, the memes, people are saying, like, you know, TikTok knew I was this before I did.
Yeah.
Just based on the videos that you watch, and it's like, oh wow.
So there's also a question really that at like that golf. Point is, do they know you, or are you being conditioned?
That's fair. That's the question. You don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah, their algorithm is just better than everybody else's.
I have faith though that we'll figure this out. You know, China and U.S. will come together at least.
They do on a lot of issues. China,
yeah.
Maybe. They're well known.
And then what? I think by the end of the year, what? It's around election time too. So I mean, does that persuade a bunch of stuff if this thing gets done around election time? I don't know.
Yeah, Biden signed this. He just cost himself the TikTok vote.
Trump has been against it. Trump has been against the ban this year. He says that it's a First Amendment issue.
That's an issue. I don't necessarily disagree that it's like bad to have our information, but like to me, it's like I should have the right to be okay with China having my personal information. If I want to get on the app and I'm aware of the risks,
not if it compromises national
right,
security.
But if I'm aware of the risks,
yeah, but then that's not your decision to make if it's a national security threat. Which I don't know the details of all right. that. I'm going to rely on General Bobby Powell over here.
Absolutely.
And I'll keep my mouth shut.
All right, it's the Payload on the Fan every Thursday at this time, 6:40. Look, I'm going on a Vegas trip here.
Whoa!
I know. All right. Back to Vegas. I was there in October, but the F1 race screwed with a lot of my viewing, so I had to go back. I had to go back within a year. So me and the Los Hombres are going back in a month from now.
And no McKenzie?
No girls on this trip.
Wow.
No girls, just guys' very trip. Nice.
Well
just,
done.
Just four dudes. Well guys done. Being dudes. And look, you know, we want to have fun out there. And look, no one wants a cheap guy when you're going on a trip. You know, you don't want to go to a steakhouse and they just order mashed potatoes and a side dish because they don't want to spend $90 to $95. You know, and I understand
that. Gotta lay the cards down.
Got to, but
split them up.
It's common sense here to save money when you have the opportunity. And you guys know this, and I've said this on air many times, I'm frugal with my money. You know, but I'm all about saving money when it's reasonable. And one thing you do in Vegas is you decide where you want to stay. What hotel? You got the Venetian, you got the Mirage, you got the
Venetian,
Bobby.
Dumbass. Read
so,
it right.
Look, and maybe I'm just stupid here, but my friends, we came together. We had a talk over dinner one day. And we
FaceTime?
Were like,
were you all eating dinner over FaceTime?
No, this was in person.
Oh, wow. Good.
COVID restrictions are gone. You know, we can meet in person. And we were talking about where we want to stay. And my friend Tommy said he goes to Vegas a lot. He has deals there because he plays a lot. And he had free nights at the Venetian. Two free nights. We're there for three nights. So he had two free nights. And the third night was going to be X amount of dollars. But it was going to come out to $75 per person for the whole trip.
Oh. To stay. Venetian is good?
Very good.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very
good.
Nice spot.
Around the strip. But my friends were like, what about Caesar's Palace? It's more in the center location of the strip. And I was like, okay, well, what's the price for that? It can't be anything cheaper than $75. It's $230 a person.
No.
For the entire trip. Not per night, but $230 a person for the three nights we're there.
Is Caesar's that much better centrally located, Ralph?
It's across the street.
From?
Venetian.
Across the street?
I showed this last night. I sent Peyton a screenshot of the map with circles. It's like, it's catty corner kind of.
Bobby, are we trusting his Vegas sense of direction on this?
I don't know. We're going to need to ask Ruben.
If he's saying
I'll wait for Ruben to get in here. On the strip. Tell us where it should actually be.
On the strip, you can trust myself of a sense of direction. We get behind the strip. Where the hookers are.
Yeah.
I don't really know where I'm going there.
Yeah, okay. That's where, sure.
I've never stayed at a hotel where you exit on the back of the strip. Okay. You get out in the front and you walk.
This is
the, your friends are morons.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Los dumbasses.
It's literally across the street. It's not any closer. It might be a half a hotel's property width closer to the rest of it. But, I mean, you are in prime position. Either way.
And the guy who goes to Vegas all the time is supporting Caesars.
Yeah, and he has the deal. He has the deal.
He has the deal at the Venetian.
He could put his foot down and just be the hero and save us all money. But then I was hit with, you're being a little cheap here. Don't be cheap. Don't be the cheap guy. I was like, okay, that's BS.
First of all, the Venetian's a much nicer hotel. Caesars is old. It's getting run down a little bit. They're having problems. Caesars Entertainment is having tons of financial problems. They're probably skimping on the housekeeping. And second of all, you are saving yourselves
$155. $155 a person.
Yeah, and the flight was around
270. So I mean that takes the hat. The flight
they're
down
calling
half.
You cheap. You turn around, you call them lazy. This is maybe adding 4 minutes to your walk. Maybe I'm sorry, subtracting to stay at the Caesars.
I think it's worse to be called dumb and reckless than lazy. I don't know, like reckless spenders.
Yeah,
like, just dumb in terms of math and proximity.
I'm right here.
And maybe lazy. Yeah.
Well, and this is the thing, is that because the big thing
and they all agree? Like, you're the only one speaking up?
Yep. Three say, you know, Caesars. I'm the only one that say Venetian. And I'm like, guys, the price. We're saving money. We have more to gamble with.
That's
we have more.
What you
say. Yeah, I know. And it's just.
Caesars has bed bugs?
I watch a lot of Vegas, like, TikTok videos. And the amount of bad reviews and bed bugs that you see in Caesars properties.
That's a win for you, man.
I know, and the guys are saying, well, it's closer to more resorts around there. It's less of a walk. You got more to do. And I'm like, guys, you sound lazy and fat.
You're on the Las Vegas Strip. You sound literally out of shape. Everything to do there.
I know. It's like the whole point.
Los Gordos.
Sound like a bunch of art majors.
Yeah, so we already got feud building up.
A bunch of art majors.
We already got feud building up, going to Vegas. Real quick here, last story. So this DoorDash driver, she's obviously it's a female. And, you click on there.
Why?
Obviously, yeah.
Why is she?
Why is it obvious?
I said girl, and then I said, female.
Oh, okay.
So I just followed it. Yeah, right. Sorry. No offense here.
UNT.
Our majors. And so she got a notice that she was delivering some food to someone. And the guy on the road, hey, I am a nudist. I will be answering the door naked. And she was like, well, then I'm not going to deliver to you. I don't want to see you naked. You know, cover up, wear a robe or something. And she got penalized by DoorDash because she refused to deliver service to this guy and made a big deal about it. And it's just, look, I know the guy, you're a nudist, whatever. Just cover up. Poor thing on DoorDash for doing this. I mean, penalize DoorDash for this. This is ridiculous. It's a big story. It's gone out there, but she's getting penalized now because she refused to deliver food to a naked man, which, you know what? I'm on her side for this.
No. His body, his choice. I'm tired of the toxic femininity that domineers over men who just want to live their lives. I agree with you again.
So how did the delivery person know that it was a nudist?
Because you can leave on there like notes, I guess. Or
he left a delivery note.
Yeah, he says.
So instead of a gate code,
to his credit, he didn't.
Gate code. Yeah.
Instead of a gate code, it's I'm gonna be.
To his credit, he did not just answer the door and go, "Oh, this is my choice." Though he did say, "Hey, this is what it is," and let her know to avoid it.
And she even said on there like just could you mark on there leave at door?
Yeah.
And then he was like, "No, I want to answer it." Like it was just this big deal.
F that loser.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What a jackass. And screw DoorDash.
No girls, obviously.
Screw DoorDash for that.
Oh, I'd have delivered.
What?
I still would have delivered.
Of course. Look, I have no problem. You're a big talker. I don't believe that you're this freak anymore.
I want to see.
You had a swingers resort to go stay at,
and you passed.
And you passed on it.
Hang on, you could be a freak. You just don't want to sleep with somebody else.
You've been talking about it.
Well, yeah, that's what we're making.
You've been talking about cameras and OnlyFans and all that.
Make some money off it. But
you got the equipment.
We want to make some money off it, but I had no problem looking. I want to see the yoga guy.
The latest draft rumors that Bobby and everybody is talking about with the NFL draft round one tonight. We'll tell you about it and where you can see all of us at your different Pluckers locations next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.